Good evening. It's a privilege to be back tonight and talk with you. This morning I thoroughly enjoyed talking with the people and sharing a few thoughts with them and having the fellowship that I had with them, even though we're here and you're there. So many times around the different parts of the world, you know, we've done that, shared with you from different countries and different places. Somehow or another, they saw fit that we should do it up here. And even though I had another speaker in mind tonight, it appeared that they didn't show up. So then they wanted me to try to speak with you tonight. But I'm glad to have a chance to say something to you. Always glad to have a chance to say something to you in the behalf of the Savior. I guess that's why that I stress eternal life the way that I do. It is so wonderful, it is so great, and the blessings and reward of God is so extensive and so profound until I don't like to lightly touch on it or lightly esteem it. There is nothing to be compared with it throughout eternity. And knowing that this life is but a short life, Solomon said, few days and full of trouble. Doesn't matter what you have, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, or whether you're educated, whether you're unlearned, it is a few days and full of trouble, and it's vanity. All is vanity. Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So then we find ourselves struggling to try to get past the vanities of life, that we might come into the reality of life, in that vanity denotes that which is not real, and like a shadow it comes to pass away. But being a forerunner of the good things to come, it gives us some idea of what God has set aside for them that are willing to wait for the reality of God and the reality of his creation. You know, we realize that when God made everything, it was so beautiful. It was set up in such a lovely way. Man and woman did not have to worry about sickness, nor sorrow, nor death, nor offending God, nor doing anything that would be a displeasure, or having the wrath of God upon them, or there was not any problems whatsoever in the garden. You know, but when Satan got into it through the tree of knowledge, all of a sudden we realized there was another mind that got hold. And when this mind took hold, from that very hour, problems started. You know, when you're born again of God and you've got the mind of God, or you follow the way of God and you just concentrate on the Word of God, you really don't have any problems much. You run into a few battles once in a while, but God is right there to fight your battles. The Bible said to draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And you have a few battles. But the thing is, if you really walk with God, go on with God, and do what God tells you to do, your battles will just fade away into nothing. God will give you the strength to overcome. But anyway, as we were saying, in the garden, there in the garden, everything was lovely until Satan got into it. That is, when the mind of knowledge, from the tree of knowledge, got into it. And when Satan entered into Eve and gave her another mind, contrary to the mind of God, which God had gave Adam, her husband, then the conflict started, and as she came to Adam, a shadow from her fell over Adam's life, and soon Adam's life of light had gone out, and then the shadow had covered him, and his light was in darkness, and now he was walking in the intellectual darkness, and the whole world fell into a darkness, like into the dark age. And the expulsion from the garden indicated that the light was gone. For the Bible said God came in the evening time of life, searching for Adam and Eve and to talk with them. And as he called to them, he could not find them. And he realized that they were lost. And when he called to them, they answered and said, "We hid ourselves. We hid ourselves." See, they had hid themselves from God because the shame of their nakedness had appeared. Whereas the Bible said, "Be sure that you have on the garments of righteousness when you meet God, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the shame of your nakedness doth not appear. For without him we are naked, for he found them naked. And unless we're born again to put on the Lord Jesus Christ or to be baptized into his body, we will be found without the garment that walked through the fire in our behalf, which is his body. And our angelic being, which is to put on that body, will not have put on that body, and will find ourselves naked and to our shame." Peter said, "When this tabernacle is dissolved, we have another tabernacle eternal in the heavens, body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put it on. It is our garment. So then the Lord, having clothed them, the world set in its darkness, with the skins that he put over them to bring them to the level of the beast, it set in, and that vine had thus devastated the whole world, and the whole world had went under a curse of the intellectual darkness, and because of that, death and sorrow and heartaches and woes and all of your blessings and riches and glory and garden, everything that God had given you, your streams, your birds, your animals, everything had gone under the curse. And though you still have all of this with you as the world, as the natural, tangible, created sources, yet in spite of this, it's still under the intellectual curse. And as long as it's under the law of the curse, then that means you cannot enjoy it, because it means death. Anything that is under the curse, it is a violation of God's law. Because of sin and violation, the curse hangs there. And Jesus came to hang upon Calvary to do away with the curse. The Bible said, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree." And there he hanged at Calvary to do away with the curse, that on this side of Calvary you might cross over the Jordan, even as Joshua did, into the great Canaan land of God, and have these marvelous blessings of the land of milk and honey. And with Christ and the glorious Holy Ghost, which is that wonderful spirit of eternal life that's with you, that precious fountain of life that's overflowing and that is above you, in you, and through you, in him you have your being. So then that means that the whole world being under the curse of the intellectual darkness, there is therefore a warfare within that body. Satan took that body, as I explained this morning, and he hath made it a contest now. And it is a contest between the interspiritual man of Christ, which is by new birth, that is in there, that's trying to recover the body. And that contest is between him, the inner man, and Satan, which is in the world, working through the human senses of the outer man. And this is why Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "For I see within the members of my body another law warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members." And he said, "I see that I would not do evil in my heart, for I have a desire to do good." And he said, "To perform that which is good in my body," he said, "I cannot find." He said, "For it will not perform. It is subject to the five senses, which is under the auspices of Satan, which is over the world." And he said, it makes me subject to him to probe at me and to stimulate my brain and my mind to gender upon my human senses thoughts that are contrary to my inner thoughts. So he said, "When I would do good, I find a law that evil is present with me, and the evil that I would not do," that is this gender upon my thoughts, of human senses, I find myself doing those things, or that is getting entangled with them. He said, but these things I allow not for. I just accept the fact that the body is dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I am a new creature by a new birth, and I'm resurrected in the new life I put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I've won out over the body, and that former things are not to be remembered. I don't remember them. God don't remember them. He's taken them away by the blood, washed my sins away, and he has raised me up in the resurrection of his Son, set me at the right hand of his own glory, and today I dwell with him in heaven. So then I enjoy this wonderful heavenly atmosphere of God within me and my body interwoven with him to the extent that he has created the atmosphere all around us of this wonderful heavenly bliss of the protection of his great presence and his eternal spirit. So then we see that God has done a marvelous thing for us, as I said, concerning the body today. And he has given us the kingdom of God within. He said, it is the Father's good place, little flock, to give you the kingdom. And he has given the little flock the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God consists of the abundance of life, of everything that pertains unto life, locally, distantly, eternally, abroad, everything in heaven and in earth, in past and in future and in present. So then you have the kingdom of God within you of everything, which means you have the diamonds, you have the gold, you have the silver, you have the knowledge, the understanding, you have the power, the majesty, the wisdom, the glory. You have all of this wonderful, wonderful heavenly thing within you, for out of you and your innermost being emanates all of these things through faith and makes your world change into the glorious, wonderful heavens that you love and long for. And we'll bring it back to its originality as it was in the garden and change it to the celestial world of the city with the light most precious, and making you to be as the sun shining within your strength as to the glory and magnificence of your appearance. So then all of the curse will be gone, and all the sickness and sorrow will be gone. And that means that you right now, as he is, so are you in him in this present world. That is, you are of the same benefits, have everything that he has. You know, there's one thing that we really need to understand. One of our mistakes is that we want to identify with the Word in the majesty and glory of all things. But we don't want to identify with the Word in self-denial and in doing what God tells us to do, in conformity and sufferings. We should identify with the Word there. It identify with the poor and the needy, and cry with them that cry, weep with them that weep, laugh with them that laugh, rejoice with them that rejoice. See, and we should identify not just in faith, to believe in prosperity and health and the great things that are given us, but we should believe in the Word to the extent that every time the Word says something, that from glory to glory, from word to word, from understanding to understanding, we move along. And every time that Word says something, we believe it. If it says deny yourself, we believe it. That's faith. If it says that we should share with our neighbor, we believe it. That's faith. If it says that we should go in all the world to try to help the needy, preach the gospel, we believe it. That's faith. See, in that way we are believing and using our faith to take us right on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and not just for the benefits of prosperity and the glories of those things that will trap us and just cause Satan to parasite and cause us a lot of trouble. Well, anyway, I didn't start tonight to try to hold you a long time, but I did want to say these few things, that it is an exciting thing to realize that you do have the ability to redeem the world. And through what Christ has done, God is waiting for you as sons and daughters of God to conform to his image and to his mind through transformation, just like children that were in college, finishing up so that they can take over the Father's business and the professional world to run it. God is waiting for you to take over His world and set everything in order and bring the celestial regime of His government, His power and His magnificence and His kingdom into all the world for a witness to people and to give them a kingdom with liberty and justice for all. So then let's remember this tonight, these few little things that we've said, just a few scattered remarks, as not to hold you long, but let's remember these things. Be in prayer, fasting, seek the Lord, study the Bible, keep your mind in heavenly things. Always pray for me, Sister Betty, and pray for those that are at Bethlehem, and pray for the people around the world, because they are desperately in need. You know, the Pope has just come over to America, and it's really pathetic because we've just seen Rosh Hashanah of the new year, the new moon, the Jews' new year. And then all of a sudden we see Yom Kippur, which has to do with the high priest going in for the atonement of sin. And at the same time, the priesthood of the Pope, the great high priest, comes over to a symbolic thing of the holies of holies, is going like into New York and in among the celebrities and these things. And then all of a sudden here he comes into our country, Washington, and to these places, once coming over here at this particular time of Yom Kippur, it just shows that something is happening and that they did praise him as their savior. And they did say great things about him as being the man that was bringing peace, and that more people had seen this Pope perhaps than any other in the world. Whereas it's still going back to what we had said about those things that were happening in all of the world wondering after that. And we spoke of arms standing on the part, and we spoke of that, of that without the desire of women, and many things that we could say tonight that might be stimulating and stirring along these lines. But just dropping in a few little thoughts tonight about this, it might make you want to stop and think that things are getting right on down to the end of the trail. Don't forget to pray for us. We love you. We're going to pray with you. And as we do, let's everybody just believe. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your children. And we thank you for the precious Holy Ghost. And we thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has taken away the sins of your children. And dear God, we thank you for the faith that you have put in their hearts to heal them and to save them and to deliver them and to supply all of their needs, even down through the many years. And dear wonderful God, we're thanking you because they're going to believe and you're going to save them and you're going to stand by them and meet all of their needs and watch over them, Lord, and help them to reach the world with the gospel. Bless all of their loved ones, Heavenly Father. Bless them in everything that they do. And dear wonderful God, I ask you to stretch out your mighty hand to them, to strengthen that faith, oh God, every day of their life, in remembrance, Lord, of me and my loved ones, as well as them and the people around the world. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Amen. God bless you.